I'm Trent Norris, fund manager at Sterling Capital.
And this is Michelle Nipko. I'm the podcast host, and welcome to the One Trade Podcast. Hi, Trent. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michelle.
Good. Hope all you listeners are doing good out there. Lots to talk about this week.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yes, there is. Trent, I would love to get your take on the Fed meeting we just had and also the continued rotation we're seeing out of the high-flying growth stocks and where you see the smart money going for us investors to hopefully know where to put our money. You know, I really hate to be a Debbie Downer, but looking at the markets, the S&P has had its worst January ever. That's not good.
Right. And well, you know, I think we need to talk about Netflix here. So And why I'm bringing that up, this is the first of the FANG stocks to complete a round trip, meaning it's back to its 2018-2019 level. So it's like the almighty FANG has been wounded here. And what's interesting to me is not many investors seem panicked.
Which is shocking, right? I mean, Netflix is down 45% from its all-time high. And some other companies that I've been following that I really loved and you saw everywhere that were doing so well are down so much. An example is DocuSign, right? And I use DocuSign all the time. DocuSign is down 63%. Zoom is down 76% from its high. These are not insignificant moves. So I'm surprised that investors are not panicked. It feels like they should be a little bit. And I think because, you know, over the last few years, the market just kind of always bounced back.
Correct.
So we'll see. But the last time we saw these sort of declines in the market was the start of the pandemic. How do you think this is different,
Trent? Well, I think March 2020 was completely different scenario where it was like the sky was falling and everyone was bailing out. And, you know, this type of capitulation in March 2020, usually marks bottoms in individual stocks and markets. So my sense is that the way this sell-off has been going is somewhat orderly, and that lends me to believe that there may be more downside to go in many stocks and sectors.
I agree with you. You know, I worked as a financial engineer in equity analytics in the late 90s during the dot-com era, and this feels very similar to that time
to
me. Yeah, where companies with negative revenue, negative earnings, right? Negative price-to-earnings ratios, and their prices were way up, and then things started to fall, right? And during that time, even myself, I'm like, oh, the stock's going down. Now's the time to buy. And then it would go down more.
Yeah, it's called the falling knife.
Right? I don't like the falling
knife. That's how you get cut.
Yeah. But that makes sense. I mean, really, why is there a price on a stock that has negative earnings, right? I guess you're looking
at
future.
Or no revenue.
Or no revenue, exactly. And, you know, if they're not having earnings, they don't have revenue and money's cheap, you know what? That's okay. They need to borrow. But guess what? Rates are going up.
Things are changing. And you know what? After listening to Powell on Wednesday, it's clear that stabilizing prices is the primary concern now of the Fed, as it represents half of their dual mandate. And this new environment is bearish to me until the Fed decides to throw in the towel on their tightening policy and Congress passes a new stimulus program.
It's crazy. When you look at the charts, inflation right now is 7%. The last time inflation was at that point was June of 1982.
Wow.
Interest rates were 14.61%.
Right.
Right now they're near zero. There's a problem.
Right.
Right. So, Trent, with all of this anticipated change, what is your potential asymmetric stock of the week?
Well, before we give you that, let's just talk about a segment in the market that typically shines in a new rate hiking environment, and that would be precious metals, gold, and silver. So let's talk about that. So in December 2015 was the start of the last rate hike cycle, and gold, silver, and gold, silver stocks did incredibly well when the overall market was down to flat. So a popular stock like First Majestic Silver, ticker symbol AG, went from $2.70 to $18 in a matter of 8 months.
Wow. That's huge. That's a 566% increase.
Right. And as the market really, the major market really isn't doing anything.
Wow.
And so
shocking.
Here's what's interesting, Michelle, is The first rate hike of this new hiking cycle starts in 6 weeks. So it's just something for people to be aware of. And looking at the gold chart, we can clearly see that gold has been forming a very bullish cup and handle pattern since the peak of its prior bull market in 2011. And this is yet another piece of the puzzle when determining price action.
So interesting. Yes, gold has formed a textbook cup and handle coming off of an uptrend. This is a long-term trend. The cup is a 10-year trend. So it's coming.
It looks very bullish.
Looks very bullish.
Right. And so are you ready for some fun and crazy facts about gold and silver?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear them. So the previous two bull markets, gold's were 1970 to 1980 and 2001 to 2011. So in 1970, 1980, the bull market in the, so the gold market went from $35 to $800 and silver went from $1.40 to $50.
Wow. That's crazy. Doing the quick math on that, over a 2,100% increase for gold.
Right.
And almost 3,500% increase for silver. And during that same time, the S&P went up only 34%.
Right. And like, and in 2001 to 2011 bull market, the most recent one, gold went from $250 to $1,900 and silver went from $4 to $48.
Well, and once again, that's a 669%, like the huge increase in gold and 1,100% increase in silver.
Right.
And during that same time, the stock market was actually down.
Right. That's what's really incredible is the outperformance that you can get in gold and silver at certain times.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Right. And our current environment is sort of a mix between both the 1970s and the end of the dot-com era, in my opinion. I mean, we can easily see the similarities from valuations in the stock market to inflation numbers. So here's another fun fact is in 1970, the average home cost, get this, follow along with me here, 14,000 ounces of silver. By 1980, that same home could be purchased for 800 ounces of silver.
What? That's crazy.
Right. And here's what's interesting. Today, we are back over 14,000 ounces of silver to purchase the average home in the United States.
Wow. So we're back to where we were.
Right. Like right at 1970. Mm-hmm. So now we need to be realistic because this era is different in that our country can hardly sustain interest rates above 2%, let alone north of 10% like the 1970s. And the reason is it's because our current debt to GDP is 130%. And that's similar to the post-World War II era. So keeping this in mind, I do expect the price of silver to vastly outperform real estate in this next decade. I don't, however, expect it to outperform by 17 times like the 1970s.
Sure.
Right. And, you know, another tool that I use to kind of gauge where the prices are going is something I like to call the 1-2-8. And simply what that means is less than 1% of all managed money in the United States is in precious metals and precious metal stocks. It's actually closer to 0.5%. The average over the last 40 years is around 1.5 to 2%. And in 1980, that amount rose to 8%. And so I expect that we just revert back to the mean of 2% and maybe possibly go higher than that.
That makes so much sense to me because in simple terms, what you're saying is demand is going up.
Right.
And when demand goes up, prices go up.
Right. It's just capital flowing into gold as a safe haven, and that and then drives up the price of silver along with the gold and silver stocks.
Gotcha.
Sure.
What is your thought on crypto?
Right. You know, that's really interesting. And so first of all, crypto is not gold. And here's some facts. So right now, all crypto is correlated currently to technology stocks. And as of now, they are not gold on steroids. They do not track along with gold in any way. Now, I'm very bullish on certain cryptos and blockchain technologies, but their valuations are in la-la land in this new tightening cycle, hence why this recent breakdown that we're seeing in these valuations.
So is that your new technical term, La La Land?
No, but it's a movie.
So funny.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, to summarize, I mean, we have stocks that are just coming down from their all-time high. We have a bond market that's in a 40-year bull market that may be over, and real estate that had a parabolic move last year. Add on crypto and NFT mania, and we kind of have this everything bubble coupled now with this new inflationary environment. And during this time, in the last decade, gold has been in what would be considered a lost decade. So it hasn't gone anywhere. And you know what, for all the hating last year that gold received as inflation was running wild, it's only down 4%, and nobody outside the gold bugs and central banks or governments really care about gold when the stock market is returning 20% and Dogecoin is going to the moon. And I believe this is all changing now.
Agreed. You know, I would call it a safe haven with all these required changes that are going to be coming from the Fed to tighten things up.
Right.
I really think it's a nice safe haven, and it's really a value. Like, I can't think of anything more of value than silver and gold, these commodities, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this pendulum swing that we're seeing.
Safe haven asset, rates, right.
Mm-hmm. Especially as interest rates go up.
Correct.
So I have a question for you, sure. Trent, on this. So like, as we all know, inflation is at 7%. So the prices of everything is up. Does that impact the cost of mining? So therefore, that translates into higher costs for gold and silver?
Yes. Yeah, we do see significant increases in labor and energy costs. So it does affect the mining stocks. And what I think is going to happen is gold is going to be reevaluated to reflect that.
Gotcha. So that'll drive the price up even higher.
Exactly.
Oh.
Right. Gold just hasn't caught on yet.
Right. No, I think so. That's a duh point in my brain. Like, okay, inflation mean prices are going up. Silver and gold as commodities prices go up.
Right.
Right. So, and the fact that they've been deflated, they're undervalued.
Right. Yeah, I would argue they are. So this week, so you ready for the trade of the week?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So the company's called Go Gold. And it's a silver and gold stock. And Go Gold, it's a Canadian-based silver gold producer in Mexico. And it has three assets. And one of the assets is in production that funds the advancement of the other two projects. And so it's kind of like the ideal situation to have a producing asset to help fund the expansion of the bigger projects. And so just going to go down some facts for you about the company. So the first asset is called the Pearl asset, and it produces yearly around 2.2 million ounces of silver equivalent. And their second asset is the Los Ricos South. Now that has a pre-economic assessment done, and it will produce 60 to 40% silver gold, so more silver than gold. It has an after-tax net present value of $408 million. It has an IRR of 58%, which is very high, and that's using $24 silver and $1,800 gold. It's all in sustaining costs around $11 silver equivalent. It has 11-year mine life will be producing 70 million silver equivalent ounces, and its initial CapEx to build the mine is around $125 million, so on the lower end. And it's 64 million ounces of silver equivalent at 199 grams per ton in the indicated category. And then their third asset is Los Ricos North, and this is their largest one. And now this resource estimate currently is at 88 million in silver equivalent indicated and 73 million in the inferred category. That just means there's a lower level of confidence in that second category. What's really interesting about this project is there's a massive 100,000 meter drill program for 2022. And what I like about it is 80% of it is expansion drilling. So really exciting work they got going on. They have 70 million in cash, no debt. This is really, really interesting. It's 20% insider ownership, which is great for a $500 million market cap. And the CEO was co-founder of Gammon Gold and helped take that from $0 to a market cap of $22 billion. That's an incredible feat. And, you know, I've owned very few gold and silver stocks that have treated me as well as Go Gold Resources. They just continue to build more value in this time. So a shout out, I want to give a shout out to Gold Ventures on Twitter. He did a really nice write-up on Go Gold, and you can follow him on Twitter, and his Twitter handle is @thelastdegree. And so I just tell people, once again, do your own due diligence and research and realize that gold and silver stocks can be very volatile, especially now and in this next 6 weeks.
Trent, and the other thing I really like about this stock is the stock price is $2 a share.
Yes.
So it really has that nice potential for the asymmetric trade that we talked about.
Right.
So in your opinion, should we invest in this now or wait until the rate hikes start?
Well, since I am such a big fan of Go Gold, I would say let's do a starter position, maybe half our position. And then in the future, I want a full position before they start hiking the rates.
So we're ready. We're ready.
Exactly. Right.
This transition.
Right. And then we'll just accumulate more in the future. But I wanted to make it a substantial part of the portfolio for sure.
I think it's a great point. And, you know, I look at the graphs for these gold and silver stocks and just metrics you've been speaking about, Trent. It looks like these are longer term trends.
Right.
Right. And, you know, of course, with any stock, it's not like every single day it goes up. You know, there's little micro trends within an overall trend.
Right.
But and the fact that these gold and silver follow these macroeconomic trends, I that's what I really like about these right now, because things are changing. Money has to flow somewhere, right? And it has to flow out of places where money is expensive, where debt is expensive. So
and Michelle, to your point too, they're relatively cheap here. So gold has been in a correction for 17, 18 months here. And so these silver stocks and gold stocks have gotten beat up to the point where they are certainly something to look at from a value standpoint. And the fact that we talked about looking at history, we're getting into that kind of that zone where they could potentially have catalysts to move. Now, that being said, no FOMO here, because, you know, that handle that's being built on the cup and handle, you know, still might need 6 to 12 months. But sure. I think it's time to look at, you know, the safe havens in the market. Now, I will say that gold and silver stocks in and of themselves are not safe havens. They are just literally buying, you know, silver or gold and getting alpha to that with their outperformance. So there is that, right? They follow gold and silver higher on the upside, but they also, you know, can fall lower on the downside. So just know that there's that volatility.
Gotcha. Okay. That's good to know. Yep. And like always, have a diversified portfolio. Don't take all of your money and put it into one thing. I would always recommend that.
Right.
But there's tremendous potential here given the changing environment that we're in.
Agree. So
I learned so much about gold and silver this week. So thanks for all your research, all your hard work, Trent. I sure appreciate it. You're an expert at gold and silver. I know you've had in your portfolio for a while, so it's nice to have access to you. I speak on behalf of all of our listeners. Thank you so much, Trent.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Kind. So it's going to be such an interesting 6 weeks as we lead up to the Fed, the interest rate.
Oh, get your popcorn out.
I got it. It's lots of butter, lots of good stuff, because it's going to be really interesting. Right. And what a fun time to have this podcast and be talking about it, because I think we're going to be learning something new every week, and we'll take you all along on our journey as we go through this, and hopefully we all make some money through all this interesting time. That's the plan. All right. Thanks, Trent. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Michelle. All right, everyone. Stay free.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that's the podcast. If you like the podcast and would like to hear more each week, don't forget to subscribe. And of course, we'd always appreciate a review. If you'd like to contact us to learn more about Sterling Capital or just to say hi, you can email us at onetradepodcast@gmail.com. Let's have a great trading week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. And now for the required risk disclosure.
The material in this podcast is presented solely for informational purposes and is not to be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any securities or any related financial instruments, nor should any of its content be taken as investment advice. One Trade Podcast accepts no liability whatsoever for any loss or damage of any kind arising out of all or any part of this material. We recommend you consult with a licensed and qualified professional before making any investment decision.